Hello and welcome to our program. We're in Lessons from Luke. Stay tuned. Ending the ministry of the Lord here on this earth as we get into our series in Luke chapter 22. He's speaking to his disciples. Judas has already gone to betray him, and he's giving them some instructions. This Passover supper and then after the Passover, the first communion service lasted many hours. It wasn't something that was short, and he did. In order to see everything that the Lord did, we would have to compare all four Gospels, his great prayer that he prayed in John 17, and some parables that he talked about and so on. We're all done here. But as we get to this portion of Scripture in Luke 22, verse number 35, he asked them a question. He said unto them, "When I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything?" And they said, "Nothing." Then said he unto them, "But now, he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip, and he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one." He said in verse 38, "And they said, Lord, behold, here are two swords." And he said unto them, "It is enough." Now what is happening here is he is trying to teach these disciples that their friendly reception is over. He said, "When I sent you out without purse, you had no money, and you didn't have anything at all. Lacked you anything?" They said, "Nothing." Why was that? Well, because the world welcomed them. They were healing their sick people. They had power over demons. They were expecting that the kingdom would come and that these men would bring it in. And so the world just loved them. That's the way it was when Jesus came in on that, what we call the triumphal entry. And they're praising him and hallelujah. And a few hours later, they're yelling, "Crucify him." And that is what the Lord is trying to get across to these disciples. They're very slow learners, as most of us are. He said, "When you went out before, they supported you. They gave you everything you needed. And you didn't need a sword for protection, but you will now." And we need to emphasize here that never, ever did the early church, anyone in it, or the Lord suggest that a sword should be used to attack anybody, but it should be used for defense. And so he said in Luke 21 and 17, "Ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake." Things are going to change for you men. And so in John chapter 15, which is really happening at this same time, only we're back here in John looking at this portion of Scripture, he gave a formula on how to handle those that hate us. And in verses 1 to 8 of John 15, he talked about abiding in Christ. And then from verses 9 to 17, he talked about loving Christians. And then verse 18 to 27, he talked about dealing with those who will hate us. Now, the only way we will have the ability to deal with those who hate us the way we should deal with them is if the first part of John 15, verses 1 to 8, is a part of our life, and that is that we are abiding in Christ. If we are abiding in Christ, the result of that, 9 to 17, will be that we will be loving Christians. Then we will have what we need in order to deal with those who hate us. In verse number 4, he said, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. And so in this first section, he is talking about abiding in Christ. Then from verse 9 to 17, he says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. He said in verse 17, these things I command you, that you love one another. Now, just a couple of comments. We could be here for 3 weeks on this portion of the scripture, but we just want to look at these words here. Just a couple of comments concerning this love. He said, greater love is no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. I do not think he's talking about dying for anybody here. It may include that. But he said, lay down your life, your whole life. That's what Jesus did. He died for us, yes. But before he did that, he laid down his entire life for his friends. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. He also said, verse 17, these things I command you, that you love one another. Now here's the question, can you love on command? And the answer to that question is absolutely not. Not on your own, you can't. Now if we abide in Christ, we can. But it goes even deeper than that. He says in verse 17, these things I command you, that ye love one another. The phrase, these things, is found 34 times in the book of John. And so what he is saying is, if you do these things, the byproduct of that will be that you will love one another. We cannot love on command, but we can love if we are abiding in Christ. And if we are abiding in Christ, we are going to be doing these things that he tells us to do. And so it would be a good idea for some of you who are listening to my voice right now to turn the television off tonight and get the Bible out and find out what these things are, so that you can get the power that you need to have in order to face the days that are coming ahead, because we have some troubling days coming ahead where the world is going to hate us more than it ever did before if we're going to stand true to the Word of God. And so in John 15, he gives the focus of the world. He says in verse 18, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hated you. He says, now, folks, you have any problem, he's telling these disciples, when I sent you out at the beginning? No, none at all. Sure, they had no problem because everybody loved them. That is about to change here, he says, and you better be prepared for it. And so in the last portion in the book of John here, verses 18 to 25, chapter 15, he focuses on hate. He said, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. But if you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, I have chosen you out of the world. Therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, Jesus said, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and had spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin, but now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that was written in their law, they hated me without a cause. And so he said, all right, but now, he says, now you're going into an era, a major change where the world is going to hate you. Well, as they get to the garden, it says in verse 39, and he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down to pray. Well, you know, sometimes I think we glibly sing the song, I'll go with him through the garden. You better check out what he went through in the garden before you sing that song. We need to be able to sing it, but it's a very costly thing if you're going with him through the garden. In Matthew's account of this, in 26 and verse number 38, it says, then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. Well, he went further and he prayed, and it says in verse 42 that he said, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. That word sorrow has been translated heaviness in two other places. And he said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Well, we're going to look at this in our next broadcast. He said, Father, remove this cup from me, if thou be willing. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. What was that cup? We'll look at it in our next message. Be sure and tune in.